think I'm just going to tell you Georgia Lavelle, but no, I don't want to put the Georgia in. Lavelle butter. Now, am I talking into this?
You don't pick it up. Yeah, you don't pick it up. What's your maiden name?
My name, maiden name was Richie. Did I just come up?
No,
I was born in Le Grand. I'm not going to tell you what year.
Okay, that's fine. Your family came here?
My mother and father, let's see, I don't know exactly when they came. I think they came about, they'd come in 1919 because my sister was born in Kansas in 1909. And so they must have come in, did I say 1919? No, that's not right. It'd be 908, wouldn't it? Because Ellen was born. No, I hope I'm not getting this all mixed up. Ellen was born in 1909 and they came in 1910. And that's 1909 or 1910, I don't know when, but they came. Anyway, my great uncle, my father's uncle, was he came earlier, much earlier, in the 1800s, and he was one of the founders. He was a postmaster, one of the first postmasters in Le Grand, and his name was George MacRitchie, and he was a piano salesman, and I think. And his quote was that every person in Union County that has a child should have a piano. And he made an effort to put a piano in every town. He'd even take a pig as a down payment. He was a wonderful man.
Well, that's a nice thing.
And then for me going to school, we walked from Oak Street to the high school, or to the middle school, which was then the central school, and I can't really quote anything too much about it because we moved to Cove in 1918, I don't know when, and that we lived on a farm, and that was the five years of the most wonderful education I believe I've ever had. Because my sister and I learned everything about the farming and cows and pigs.
And you went to school in Cove.
We went to school in Cove.
Graduated from Cove?
No, we were only there for 5 years. We were in Le Grand in 5 years. I mean, over in Cove for 5 years. And then we came back to Le Grand, and I graduated from high school. Let's see, I graduated in 1930. And, my desire at that time was to be a school teacher. And then my sister, the last year of my last year in high school, my sister died from a kidney infection, a kidney ailment. And right then and there, I decided I wanted to be a nurse. So in 1932, I went in training at the Emanuel in Portland. And that was a wonderful, wonderful experience. I think I loved every day that I was there. I could tell you some very interesting experiences that I've had there.
You graduated from your training, and did you come back to the Grand?
No, I stayed in Portland and worked there I worked there till, let's see, 1940. I graduated in 35, and I worked there till 1945. Well, about 46, I should say. Yes. I married my husband in 41, and he was already in the service because we planned on being married in January, and then he was drafted in February. So, I mean, we were planning on being married in in February, and he was drafted in January. So as a result, we put our wedding off until July, when he got his first leave from absence. And then he went to New Guinea, was in the, over there for 5 years. And when he came home, then we moved to Chehalis for a very short time. He worked for his brother in a huge, huge farm that had beautiful horses and beautiful cows and everything. And then we came back to West Lynn and found a place that we just loved. There was lots of trees, lots of wonderful pear trees and apple trees, 10 or 15 apple trees, and they were all different, and it was just a wonderful, wonderful place. We loved it. And we lived there. My husband got a job at Crown Zellerbach paper. He was a paper maker. And I worked for a while. I did private duty most of the time.
Nurse can always find work.
I always had a job. I would go on call, and I'd get called before the day was out. And we did private duty then. There was no such thing as an ICU, so we did our own. We gave our own IVs, and we did all of the things that you get that they do in the ICU department now. And I had a very interesting case. A doctor, Stedman from Santa Cruz, California, was in. He and four other doctors had been up here in the Wallowa Mountains hunting, and they had a doe in the back of the car, and on their way home somewhere around the Dalles, the tire blew out. And it flipped the car completely over, and he was paralyzed. Dr. Feldman was paralyzed from the waist down. And I was called on the case. And we worked so hard with him. He was so intelligent. He wanted to tell us what to do because he couldn't move. And so finally, Dr. Dillahunt had the iron lung brought from medical school down to the Emmanuel, and we put him in the iron lung, and the poor man, he wanted to get well so badly that he fought against the pressure. He would breathe against the pressure there, and of the iron lung. And so he was only in it for 2 days, then we had to take him out. And then he just couldn't make it, he just finally died. His wife came, and she was so good to him, and she just helped us so much. But Dr. Dillahunt had said to me, do anything he wants. If he wants to have packs on his stomach, do it. Don't call me. Just do anything he wants. And he was such a nice man. And I've had very, very nice patients. I don't think I ever disagreed with anybody, with any of them. I had a patient that, his name was Mr. Mailing, and he was a heart case, and he lived at the beach at Depot Bay, out there now where there's a huge condominium. But at the time, he had a beautiful home there, because he was a millionaire, and he had built this beautiful home before he got sick. He also lived in Forest Grove, I think, where he had he took care of vegetables. He canned, and anyway, he was a very nice patient. But I went down there and was with him for 3 months down at the beach, and that was the thrill of my lifetime. Pretty nearly every day we'd walk down to the beach and look down and watch the whales, and so that was another experience that I had that was very great.
And then when did you move back to the Grand?
My husband retired in 73, and we moved back to the Grand in 1973. And we built our home out at Alisal and lived there for 10 years. Then we moved in. We had such a terrible winter that we came into town to play pinochle with a friend of ours, and the people next door were moving out in 2 days. And Chester said, let's rent it for the winter. Let's get out of there, because we were having to go from one place. I had to drive our pickup to get wood, just about three or four feet. We couldn't even, so the snow was so bad. We just, so anyway, we moved into Le Grand, and we liked it so well we stayed. And then my husband got very ill. He had a stroke, and he just didn't ever recover completely from it. And he had I put him in the nursing home here, which he was very dissatisfied because he got rotten service, and I'll admit it. And so then I finally called his sister in Portland, and she said, we've got a place down here for him, just bring him down here. So my niece came up and got us, and we moved down. I took him down, and he only lived 5 days after he got there, but we moved to Canby. And he had such a wonderful trip down. He sat up and looked at the ocean or at the river and had a wonderful time. And when we got down there, he had the nicest service, the nicest rooms and everything. But he only... I came back. I lived down there for 3 years, and then I fell and broke my hip, and so then I came back to Le Grand. I didn't break my hip. I broke my femur, but right close to the hip. And so...
What's the most outstanding thing you think about living in Le Grand?
In Le Grand?
Yes.
Oh, it's home, for one thing. It's just absolutely home, because this is where I was raised. I like Le Grand. It isn't the town that it used to be, because so many buildings have burned, I don't know. I have lots of friends here, and so...
Good. It's nice to have friends come home.
I have wonderful friends. And I've always gone to the church. I go to the Methodist church, and I have always loved that building, the organ and everything.
Well, you're very satisfied in the occupation that you chose.
Oh, I loved it. I loved it. I just wish that I had continued on, kept up with it a little bit all the time, so that I would have kept in touch with the medicines and the treatments, because everything is so different now than it was. Just everything. The medicines and everything are all different.
What do you think of the weather?
Oh, I love it. I just love the rain, the snowstorm this morning. That was just beautiful.
Well, you know, when you're used to
the
Grand,
some of the people like to go south. Well, I liked Portland. Portland was fine when I was in training in 1935 and along in there. It was very nice, but then it got bigger and bigger and bigger, and the streetcars disappeared, and the trolleys. And then it got to the place where I just didn't like it anymore.
A lot of people don't. In looking back at things, is there any part of your life you'd like to live over again?
Yes, I'd like to live over my years in training. I really would. I just loved them. And our experience at Cove, I didn't ever want to go back to Cove, but my experience there was so it's just, I just felt like I got a whole lot of education there.
Then there's nothing that you would like to do differently?
Yeah, I wish I had continued on with my training. Not necessarily training, but no, I wish my sister could have lived, because we were very close, but...
There's still some of your classmates
Oh, yes, the gal that lives down the hall from me, Genevieve Carter, she and I were in high school together. And we still are, we're good friends, yes.
And
was she your high school teacher?
Husband.
Oh, your husband.
Harvey.
Did you ever know Harvey? Oh, yes, very well. We played pinochle all the time. Yes, he was. And so is Genevieve. Genevieve knows everybody. She knows practically everybody here, and she knows everybody, because she'll say, oh, he was my second grade. He was my, I taught him in the second grade.
I can appreciate. Well, being new at this, I really don't know how many things to ask. Hopefully I covered the basic things that would be interesting.
Well,
is there anything about LeGrand you'd change?
No, I don't think so. I just wish that they had better shops in LeGrand. For instance, you can't buy a good pair of shoes, I mean the kind that you want, in LeGrand, and you can't. You can go to some of the stores and get things, but you can't buy nice clothes. I won't say nice clothes, but I mean something that fits you.
Days, maybe French's shoe shop. Do you remember that on Adams?
French?
French?
No, I don't remember that. I was.
Trotters.
What? Trotters? Oh yes.
Gary McCarthy.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of some of the older stores.
Oh, N.K. West and yes. Let's see, and Joel's Grocery Store. We used to live real close to them, and we traded there quite often. Yeah. Let me see. What were some of the other stores here? Montgomery Ward. I don't mean Montgomery. There was a Montgomery Ward, but yeah. But there was kind of a cute expression that we learned when we lived at Cove. There was a man by the name of Mr. Nelson. He brought his girlfriend into LeGrand to get married, and they went. Where did they really get married? Anyway, after they were married, they went out to. I don't remember that part of the story. Anyway, the story is that he came home and they said, "Where's Nell?" And he says, "Oh my gosh, I left Nell in Portland, in LeGrand. I forgot Nell and left her in LeGrand." So he had to go back to LeGrand and get his bride.
You remember when they built this Sacagawea Hotel?
Oh, yes.
The LeGrand Hotel?
Yeah, and we had our senior prom. Yeah, senior prom in the LeGrand Hotel. And he used to take tap dancing in the Sacagawea when it was, let's see, there were. We did a lot of display. I mean, we did our tap dancing in several different places after practicing. I was trying to think of the teacher's name, but I can't think of her name. But we had a lot of fun. We danced for the Midnight Matinee one time, and we danced for the Odd Fellows Hall at the Odd Fellows Hall, and. There was somebody at the other place, I can't remember where it was, that we danced. And we used to have just a wonderful time.
Well, it sounds like it's been a real nice life.
I've had a very, very good, I've had lots of surgery, lots of illnesses, but they never lasted long. I was always healthy right afterwards, and so I didn't ever have any children. But we had tried to adopt children several times. And it seemed like they was all. I think God didn't want us to have children because my husband was so lenient and I was so firm. So I think we probably would have ended up in the divorce courts if we'd had children. No, not really. Because we just we got along beautifully. I had a very nice, generous husband. He loved to build things, and he built three homes for us while we were married, after we were married. He built a brick home in West Lynn. Willamette was West Lynn. It was Willamette, and then they incorporated into West Lynn. And so we lived in the same place at the same time.
It was interesting that you went into nursing. I went to college for about 8 months,
and then I got this message. I got the report from the Emmanuel that I was accepted in training. So then I had to quit and go in training. So, but I went to Amanda Zabel and Roy Skeen. I took science, child psychology from Roy Skeen, and Stevenson. I took, he had a creature that he sat on my desk, and we went on hikes, and that darn creature all went along. What was it, a muskrat? No. Anyway, I can't remember. Yeah. Who else? I had three teachers. Who was the other one?
Kaiser? No.
Skeen and Stevenson was the science teacher. My Amanda Zabel, yeah, that's right.
I can't think of anything more to ask you. You've done very well helping it be along.
I can't think of anything else to say because I've just had a wonderful.
Where did you live on Oak Street?
1102. Anyway, it was just three houses off of Adams, towards the river. Cherry's Florist was just across, their home lived just across, and they used to have the florist, their greenhouses back behind.
Yes, I remember that.
Where? The first hospital was there. And my uncle, Uncle Mac, George Ritchie, my great uncle, but my dad's uncle, we always called him Uncle Mac. Anyway, he and Dr. Richman were real good friends, and he always helped him out financially every once in a while when he needed. I know Dr. Gilstrap. Dr. Gilstrap, I could kill him. Every time I came home from my vacation, I came home to see my folks, and he always ran into me, and he'd say, "Be up the hospital at such and such a time. I want you to help me in surgery." And I helped him more times. I would say three times. I'd come home and I'd say, "I haven't got any uniform. I haven't got anything with me. We'll furnish you. We'll put your uniform on you." So on and so forth. He always took advantage of me, I think.
Clarence, our family doctor.
Oh, was he really? Well, I guess he was my family doctor before we went to LeGrand, before we went to Portland. But Dr. Richardson was my doctor when I was born.
Now the hospital is moved.
You what?
The hospital is moved.
Oh, yes.
St. Joe used to be.
Yeah.
That's,
yeah, and... I don't know whether I should mention Emma McNeish or not, but Emma McAnish, was the postmaster in Alisal, and I've known her for years, and we knew her. They moved to Cove the same time we did, and then they moved back to LeGrand the same time we did. So we've been friends for a long while. And she was the one that we came in to play Pinnacle with the night that we decided to move in. She was on, lived on one side of the duplex, and so we lived on the other side. So we looked after her for a long while.
How come you picked ourselves to build a house?
Well, my husband is from Arkansas, and every time we'd go, my father's sister lived in Joseph, bless her heart. She was the dearest little lady, and we'd go by, have to get her every year to bring her back down through the winter after her husband died. And Chuck just loved that the drive. He'd say, I just wish I could live here sometime. And we came up for Christmas to visit Emma, and she had invited us to come up to spend Christmas vacation with her, and she was standing there at the kitchen window, and she said, "That darn Clark Ruckman, he's selling all this property around here." And Chester just said, "He's a selling?" That was the clue. So he went and looked, and we built, you know, Emma was here, and he bought this, we bought this property right there on the Alisal Road, but anyways, 82. And
cold and 82.
Yeah, and we bought that field of wheat and built a house on it and lived there very happily. Had a wonderful, wonderful place there because we had a real good garden spot, and I had lots of flowers, and it was nice.
That's one of the better parts of the valley as far as cool.
Yes, I can agree. But that's why we even made a down payment on the property before we left that Christmas. Check was so, and he just thought, "That's just what I want." So.
Now, when you went to Central School, was that junior high school or high school?
It was a grade school and high school. It was just, it was a grade school and high school. And I was trying to think who the principal was. Anyway.
When did they build the high school next to the
center? The high school was already there when I went to school.
When the two of them were together.
Yeah, the two of them were together. And I still have a brick from the old high school.
Is that about the time the third story burned off?
It is burned, uh-huh. It burned, and we went over. We had been there earlier in the evening, I think, or been someplace, and we came back and helped take all the books out of the library, and we worked like mad trying to save that building. But it burned. There was a play there. That's what it was. There was a play and the cyclorama behind. Somebody thought they had maybe smoked back there or something. And anyway, apparently, at least that's my understanding, that the cyclorama caught on fire. And that's where the fire started. I don't believe the play was that night. I think it was we were just there practicing or something.
Well, then did the student school or other places finish out the year?
That was the year that the snow was way high deep, and we had classes we had to walk from the Presbyterian Church to the Methodist Church to the what was the Mormon?
The Oasis Hall.
Yeah.
Recreation Hall.
Yeah, the Recreation Hall. I had two classes there, and we went from place to place.
too.
Church to do. You did too. You're about my age then.
No, no, younger. Yeah. I used to.
Do you want something? Oh.
I'm going to have to ask you again if you state your name and your wife's name. I'm sorry. I forgot to turn on the microphone.
I'm sorry. My name is Louis J. Ansel, and my wife's name is Corrine Brines Ansel. And I was born in 1918 in Hazelden, Idaho. My wife was born near Starbuck, Washington, on the Toucan River, on a homestead out on the Toucan River.
When did you come to the Grand?
We came here in 1923, along in June, I think it was. And my grandfather went to work we stopped here, we was headed for the coast. We stopped here and my grandfather went to work on the Presbyterian Church, doing the mason work, the brick work, and the plastering. And incidentally, the plaster is still there that he put on the wall.
Now, you were telling me about an incident that you had that you remember from school.
The worst day of my life was I'd gotten in a fight going home at noon because a kid ripped off my cousin's hat, French Duke hat, off his head, and wouldn't give it back. And I swatted him real good and made him go home crying. And so his mother came to school complaining. And I was called up in front of the room, in the other first grade room, and the lady reduced the teacher, who was a mean old teacher, reduced me to tears in front of everybody. And anyway, I think that was the worst thing that ever happened to me. I was a first grader. And the second grade, we moved out to the Fruitdale School, and the teacher had a disease you have when you drink bad water, and lost. She had high typhoid fever and lost all her hair, so she was bald. And for the first few weeks until she got a wig, and the older kids, Boyd and Wayne Stanley, got in trouble with her. So the school board chairman came to school, sat in back of the room and caught the boys doing something, took them out and licked them, about five of them, one after the other.
Those things happened in school. And then you went on to LeGrand High School?
Yes. When I was 12, I moved into LeGrand, and we spent the next 2 years going to school in LeGrand and in high school. And I principally remember that I was a Boy Scout those 2 years, and the manager of the Stevens store downtown, where the right next to where Moon's drugstore is now, was our scoutmaster,
Mr. Hedden,
and his boy was the, the next scout over the top of my leader. And then the other thing that I remember about that period of time was let's see, Boy Scout, and, well, it was kind of a dull, it was the middle of the Depression, and my father didn't have a job, but we got some money from our place that we sold out in Fruitdale, and we were living on something like $10, $12 a month, because the bank, that's all the bank would let us have. And so it was kind of a bad time. At the end of that time, we moved out in the May Park District, and we went, and I started the school the year that the high school had burned down. So we walked all over town. I had classes in the Mormon Church, the Methodist Church, the Christian, First Christian Church down there on some place. You had to practically run from one to the other to be sure and get there on time. And of course I had the mechanical drawing class was up at the high school. So we went up there.
Mr.
McEachran was my teacher up there.
Then you graduated in 1936?
Yes, I graduated in 1936. And the mechanical drawing was the one class really that I remember using, because twice for the Oregon State Highway Commission I was put to work drafting in the office. I could handle the tool. In other words, what would have been a little time without work, I was able to spend in the drafting office drawing plans of the highway cross sections.
During the time, during the Depression, do you remember how downtown looked?
Yes.
A lot of buildings closed with Bonham on the windows.
Well, I don't remember that so much as I remember Anselm Chopless had a shoe shine, hat blocking establishment there across from the theater, and he used to let me come in and take cards with his business cards around and stick them underneath all the people's windshield wipers for his advertising, and it was a very dreary job for something like $2 an hour.
What were you doing when the war started?
Well, I was going to college. In 1938, after 2 years of doing hard labor for the highway construction project, various places in Oregon, and I think I was member of the crew that paved most of the streets and main streets in Oregon, Eastern Oregon, Union, Elgin, Wawa, Enterprise, the whole work, and Joseph. I was somewhere in those 7 years I worked for the highway department. Before and after the war,
Then when the war came along, you went into what part of the service?
Well, I was I was going to school in Oregon State by that time in 1941. And I remember the day that we'd come home from church to the cooperative house where I was living down in 9th Street in Corvallis, and on the way we heard that the fact that America had gone to war or been bombed, was being bombed in Pearl Harbor. And so when I came home at Christmas, my draft number was kind of a low one or a high one, whichever. Anyway, I was due to go. So I went to ask them, and they said the draft board here would probably send me in March, which they did. They sent me when I come home for spring break, they sent me to down to Portland. And at Portland, they found a crowd. I've been working in dust, and I had a spot of black lung, about the size of a dollar on my lung. And so they tossed me out. I just got down to Portland and got sent home to the Dalles. The Dalles said I was, the man there said, I think it took them a couple of days to look at me. And that was where the TB sanatorium was. So they sent me back to La Grande and told me to sleep outside, which I did for the next year. And they didn't do anything except they said they couldn't, just bed rest was all they could do. And I wasn't that bad. They said it wasn't really that bad, just sleep outside and see that if the spot didn't get any bigger, why I would have to, why they'd send me back to the Army, which they did then in 1943. Uh-huh. But in the meantime, I had met this interesting girl who liked English of all things. She was an English major, which was last for later. But anyway, so in the year that I was home, we got engaged to Miss Crane Vines, and she was going to EOC at that time, and let's see, I didn't go to school, but I stayed home and plowed snow, slept outside on my father's back porch. He kind of had a porch that went around the house, and I slept out there with a multitude of covers on. And anyway, I think that was the year I got engaged. And then when they took me in to the Army in March, the last part of March, we went up to Spokane to have our physicals and be mustered in and so on. And the bottom of my lung hadn't grown, so the Navy tried to get me to go into the Navy, and I probably should have, but I didn't. I thought I could get into the Army engineers, and by in the engineers I might learn some things, because I was, by that time I was trying to be an engineer in Corvallis. That's what I was going down to Corvallis for, was to go to engineering. And in Corvallis, when I tried to I couldn't get a full curriculum of engineering. So I'd taken a couple of education courses, Education 201 and Education 202, which was real. Anyway, it was interesting later on in these engineering courses. Anyway, I was drafted into the Army in April the 1st. It was very prophetic, April the 1st of 1943. And I was put in a ordnance outfit because I had taken a NYA course for up here in the high school. The year that I was plowing snow, I took a NYA course in automotive mechanics, just for I don't know why I took it. I just went down and did it. But anyway, that put me in the ordinance, they thought. So that's where I ended up in Fort Lewis. And we had a basic training, and by that time, they also had a secondary training after basic. And in the secondary training, I was sent over to the motor pool and sent to school to become a truck driver. I had, anybody knows anything, they know that a truck driver has to be pretty good truck driver to plow snow. So I was a good truck driver, but I was spent 2 weeks learning how the Army way to drive this truck. And then I got a real good grade at it. So then they sent me into, and then they